Here on CRKC, the only station, radio station in Ireland with a dedicated astronomy slot, we're joined once again by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. And David, there's a lot happening in the skies this week, including a rare space chase visible from Ireland. Good evening, David.
Yeah. Good evening. And we also had a display of the Northern Lights over the last few nights. Friday night was best. A lot of people saw it before midnight, but then after midnight, it went berserk. And there are some incredible pictures that will be going into Astronomy Ireland magazine, taken from around the country. I was lucky enough to see it myself, and the whole sky was lit up with rays of Northern Lights, reds, greens, beautiful photographs. So hopefully people saw that. We do predict the aurora every day for the last 30 years on our social media.
Now, David, this space chase, a Russian Progress spacecraft has just launched. Can you explain what's happening and why it's so exciting for sky watchers here in Ireland?
Yes, well, of course, the space station is an active laboratory and they have to get supplies, including food, up and various bits of equipment down. And new crews go up and down all the time, a few times a year. So there's always a bit of activity. The problem is they've got so good at it, they can launch and dock within a few hours. And that means we'd be very lucky to see it at a time when it's flying over. But the International Space Station is flying over every night this week. The 28th will be the last night, Saturday. People have probably already seen it last week. Again, the times to see is different every night, but they're on our social media, along with it was passing in front of Jupiter from the central part of the country last week. Some people might have seen that. And indeed crossing the moon as well. Over the last few nights, we need a clear sky. I haven't seen any reports of that happening yet. But the Progress craft is taking up about 3 tons of food and equipment to the 7 astronauts on board the space station. It was launched yesterday around just afternoon. I was watching the launch live online myself. And it's expected to dock tomorrow afternoon, early afternoon. So we won't see it tomorrow night, but we could see it tonight. We just don't know how close they are because they do lots of tests to make sure everything's safe before they actually dock, because the two craft are moving at 17,000 miles an hour. You don't want to tip off each other at those kind of speeds. So if you're watching the space station flying across tonight, brightest thing in the sky, outshines even Jupiter. The time is 8:38 p.m., to save you looking up our social media. And you may see the Progress craft, which is smaller and therefore dimmer, but plainly visible to naked eye. I've seen it in the past. It be ahead of or behind the space station. We don't know which. It could be very close. It could be quite far away on the other side of the sky. We won't know until we actually see it. So watch out for that. And then email Astronomy Ireland magazine at astronomy.ie and tell us what you see.
And David, with a craft going at 17,000 miles an hour and the space station doing the same, first of all, obviously, to be able to dock at that speed is just incredible. But it's an unmanned craft, I take it.
Yeah, Progress is unmanned. There was a crew sent up a few weeks ago. There won't be another one for a while. So there's no people on the smaller one, but there are 7 astronauts who will be all watching the docking very carefully. There was an incident back with the previous one, the Mir space station, where a Progress craft ran into the Mir space station, which was near catastrophic. So they know what they're doing. They certainly don't want anything like that happening. And we heard some reports. Brian Harvey writes our space station column every month, has told me that there was a problem with the docking system. Now, there's a manual system on top of that that they can use. And it was a manual system they were using when they had to crash into Mir. We don't expect anything like that to happen. It's very rare and people learn from their mistakes. But, if you're one of the 7 astronauts on board, you'll certainly be watching what's going on very carefully on Tuesday after 1 o'clock our time, I think it is.
And, David, if there was a manned craft going up, it would be doing similar speeds to try and dock with that station, I mean, looking out through a windshield on a thing going at that speed, I suppose it's really slow in space, is it?
Well, if right now you and I are spinning around planet Earth at 700 miles an hour, and we don't realize it because, we're all moving at the same speed. But if you're on the space station, you're both going 17,000 miles an hour. But the rockets on board, the thruster rockets, are capable of decent speed, so should they jam open if there was any kind of catastrophic failure and ramming your craft together. So, you know, there is always that chance that this is very high-tech equipment. And if something goes wrong, it can go spectacularly wrong. That said, I wouldn't dwell on this. The dockings happen all the time, several times a year, without the International Space Station, without any real problems. And the astronauts know what they're doing, and they're trained in all eventualities as well that you could possibly dream up. So I think the docking's going to go well. We'll just enjoy the view from the ground. I haven't seen a space chase in years because they're getting so good at it, but this two-day docking that they're doing this time means we've got a chance, and it just happens to happen when the space station is flying over Ireland. And it only does that in the evening sky anyway for 2 weeks every 2 months. So if you don't see it this week in March, you've got to wait till May to see the space station in evening skies.
And again.
So we want everybody out watching it.
And remind us, David, about what time they should look this evening for this possible space chase.
Yeah, it's 8:38, and it's in the south. The space station is extreme, right? You almost don't need to know the direction. Just look up, look around the sky, and the thing moving across the sky at about the speed that high-flying jet aircraft cross the sky. That's the space station. So it's definitely moving. If it flicks across the sky in a second or less, that's a meteor shooting star. And there'll be other satellites up there as well. The extremely bright one for 2 or 3 minutes around 8:38. 8:38 is when it's at its highest. Get ready a couple of minutes before that. That's the space station. There's a dim craft tracking it across the sky, the whole way across the sky. That's the Progress resupply craft. And you've seen a very rare space chase.
And then, of course, on people just need to go to astronomy.ie and to the social media parts down at the bottom of the page to go and look at the daily viewing times that you have up there, and you'll be putting them up live for each day.
Yeah, because it'll be a different time. The space station flies over tomorrow. It'll be a little bit bigger and brighter with the Progress graph hopefully safely docked. And the same again then until Saturday. And after that then, wait till mid-May.
Now, tonight we also have a beautiful pairing, the Pleiades beside the thin crescent moon. And we've seen the thin crescent moon over the last couple of nights. What that makes it really for a very special sight, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I could see it myself last night. This time the moon is closest to it when it's below our horizon. So the night before, last night, it would be one side. In fact, the Pleiades were above the moon last night, but tonight they'll be below it. If you've got Astronomy On magazine in the March issue, you'll see on page 27, there's a lovely diagram showing you the position of the moon relative to the star cluster on both nights. I could see it with the naked eye. The Seven Sisters is called that because keen-sighted people can see seven. I can only see five. A pair of binoculars, though, you can see dozens, 40 or 50. And there's actually 1,000 members or more of the cluster with big giant telescopes looking at it. We all just want to see this clump of stars below the moon tonight. And if you've got a smartphone and you know it's to take night mode pictures or long exposure pictures, you should be able to record the moon, which will be burnt out, and the star cluster, whose stars you will photograph, on the same picture. And last night was a bit hazy, so the moon was, the haze was lighting up all the sky around the moon. But on really clear nights, you can get the thin crescent moon that we'll have, and the dark side of the moon glowing with Earthshine, that sunlight reflected off the Earth onto the moon's dark side, and the Pleiades star cluster. So if it were clear tonight, you could get a really spectacular photograph, even with just a smartphone. If anyone gets a good one, sends it into the magazine, we'll share it with the thousands of readers all around Ireland. So do send in your sightings, and indeed any good photographs that you get.
And then to put this into perspective, you mentioned the fascinating comparison that Pleiades are about 450 light years away, while the moon is just over a light second away.
Yeah, it's just a line of sight effect. You know, the Pleiades is very millions of times further away than the moon actually is. The moon is a fairly insignificant ball of rock, quarter the size of the Earth in space, important to us, but not to the universe, whereas the Pleiades is a huge cluster of 1,000 stars as big as the sun.
Now, one of the highlights of the week is Jupiter blazing beside the moon on Thursday. How rare or spectacular is that alignment, David?
Yeah, well, Jupiter will line up with the moon every month, and we'll see Jupiter about 3 months in the evening sky. So we've been spoiled over the last few months, having great views of it in a big telescope. We'll actually be showing Jupiter at what's really our moon watch on Saturday, but Jupiter's well worth looking at when it's this high and this close. And it's the brightest star-like object in the sky once the sky gets dark. And the moon is the brightest object in the night sky. So for the two bright objects in the night sky to come close together is really an awesome sight to the naked eye. And they'll be pretty close this time. For instance, if you held your fist at arm's length, less than half the width of your fist would cover both the moon and Jupiter. That's really nice and close. And that'll happen all evening on Thursday night. There's, again, a diagram in the magazine showing what it will look like. They can't pass in front of each other just yet, but there's a cycle on the moon that goes over 18 years when the moon can actually pass in front of the planet Jupiter. That's not going to happen this month, but it's still very pretty to the naked eye and a really easy target to photograph with your smartphone. And another tip is, if you've got a pair of binoculars, aim them at Jupiter, hold them really steady, and you'll see it, tiny moons either side. Each one is around the size of our moon, a little bit bigger, but much further away, of course. You need a pair of binoculars to see them around Jupiter. Tiny telescope will give a great view, and you won't have far to move your telescope to go from the moon to Jupiter and back. In fact, binoculars will keep the two planet and moon in the same field of view. So definitely have a look at the naked eye, have a look with a pair of binoculars, and if you're lucky enough to have a big telescope, have a look with that as well.
Now, looking ahead then to Sunday, we've got something quite unusual. The star Regulus in the constellation Leo disappearing behind the moon. Tell us, David, what exactly is happening here?
Yeah, well, Regulus is the brightest star in Leo. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky, so plainly visible to the naked eye. And it just so happens that the moon can pass in front of it and is doing so at the moment. It's happened a few times in the last year because I've been out trying to watch it. And on Sunday night, just as it's getting, as the sun sets, so you'll see the moon, you see the moon in broad daylight, but you'll see the moon easily. And if you aim your telescope or binoculars, you should be able to see Regulus passing behind the moon. Technically, the moon is moving and it's going to go in front of Regulus. And if you do watch it, what you notice is the star hangs on the edge of the moon and instantly vanishes because it's so far away. Its disk is tiny compared to the moon. The moon's moving its own diameter every hour, rule of thumb. And the star is incredibly tiny being so far away. So it gets snuffed out in an instant. It's really quite spectacular to watch one of the brightest stars in the sky just vanish suddenly. There is a whole table of fainter stars doing this in the magazine every month that you can watch with your telescope and binoculars. But when a big one like Regulus gets occulted, it's worth getting out. So there's full details and a diagram again of that in Astronomy Ireland magazine. And, you know, be ready sunset on Sunday.
And Astronomy Ireland are holding an annual moon watch this Saturday. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we've just passed the equinox. So Friday was the start of spring. So last week, Thursday, days before, we're all in winter. And there's a movement to try and claim that spring starts on the 1st of March. It doesn't. It starts with the equinox. Look at all the learned publications all over the internet. They'll all tell you this. So ignore the Irish media and the Irish Met Office. There is a meteorological season, and they're just going by calendars, which are an arbitrary human affair. But the real ones start on the equinox and go to the solstice. That's when spring is in Ireland. And when that happens, it turns out the moon comes up from where the sun sets very quickly after it's been a new moon. And you get a nice high crescent, which you'll see tonight. And by the time the moon's at first quarter, it's really high up. And it's a fantastic time to see it. Not a full moon, not when it's the best time is really when it's a semicircle, first quarter, we call it. And on the edge where the night side and bright side meet, you get very long shadows cast. So you can see the crater stand out in stark relief, mountain peaks inside them, vast lava plains. I've been watching it for decades, and it never gets old. So once a year in spring, around the equinox, we set up giant telescopes to show people what is by far the most impressive sight in a telescope with all that detail, the moon. And we're doing it this Saturday. Details are on the website astronomy.ie. And get your tickets. Come along, bring the whole family, and we'll impress the hell out of them.
And of course, they're getting the clocks will be going forward, of course, on Sunday, so it'll be it'll be a little darker then for other events you have coming up later. It'll be later; people will be going to those. But for Saturday, the clocks are not going back on that evening when you're having the moon watch.
That's why I personally, as an astronomer, lament that, because it means it doesn't get dark till later. I want it to be dark all day long.
Of course, yeah, not good news for you at all. So it's not. You prefer the autumn when the clock goes back again. Now,
the winter months are great. Sunset at 4 p.m. and sunrise at 9 a.m.
Oh, and David, anyone thinking of coming along to that? What can they expect to see through a telescope? Some of your big telescopes. You mentioned that they will certainly see craters.
Even with a pair of binoculars, you can see the main craters if you can hold them really steady. But once you get a telescope on them, the craters are incredible. There are thousands of them. Some of them are as big as Ireland. We can see ones down to about a few thousandths of the width of the whole moon. So you could fit millions of craters across the moon if it were peppered that thickly. But giant impacts have happened on the moon that have wiped out a lot of the old craters. We think the molten rock that came up from below the surface and filled in the huge impacts, and they would have happened recently. So any old craters got wiped out. So there's areas where it's fairly smooth. There's areas like the South Pole where it's extremely crazy, or craters on top of craters. And some of the objects that hit the moon, they're all caused by impacts, made the ground bounce back up and throw up mountain ranges in the middle of the craters. And you can see these. And I've seen some of the craters in the big telescopes that have mountains in the center with multiple peaks. So you can see multiple peaks inside individual craters. And, you know, the telescopes will have to zoom in really close to show you the detail. And you could move up and down the moon all night long visiting all this landscape. It really is a spectacular sight. If you haven't seen the moon in a giant telescope once in your life, you have to put it on your bucket list. And Ireland's as good a place to see it as any. And we have some of the most powerful telescopes in amateur hands in the world to show you an incredible view.
Now, finally, David, you were saying there that you're getting the magazine to the printers today. Tell our listeners just briefly, when do you start the process of each month's magazine? How long does that take and all of that?
Well, articles come in months in advance. The news, we specialise in news, trying to keep people up to date. So, for instance, we're just putting this magazine to the printers, and just over the weekend in comes a new story that there are new moons discovered around Jupiter and Saturn. So that won't even fit into this issue. It'll be in the next one. So we're over 200 for Saturn, and I think it's 101 is the new count for Jupiter. So news stories can come in at any moment. The big story coming in April, which we can't report on in the April issue because it comes out in March, is, of course, that they're still hoping to go back to the moon. The Artemis 2 mission is set for launch on April the 1st. So what are we, 8 days away, next week? And that could see four people going further from the Earth than any humans have ever done as they swing around the far side of the moon. An interesting fact is that they've trained the astronauts on how to report on what they see rather than photograph, because the human eye-brain combination can do a better job, apparently. So they'll be reconnoitering the lunar surface for possible places to land. And they've just changed it recently. Artemis 3 was supposed to land on the moon, but it's now going to be Artemis 4. So there's loads of things happening on the exploration of the moon, which, by the way, there'll be a bit of a talk at the Moon Watch, regardless of the weather on Saturday, and we'll cover all of this. And certainly in the next decade, the Americans and the Chinese are planning to land on the moon.
Okay, and Henrietta's just texted in. Henrietta's just checked in, texted in to say, where is the moon watch being held? It's off the M50 motorway as you're heading into Dublin. It's off the M50. That's where Astronomy Ireland headquarters are. So you don't have to go into any traffic.
There's a map on the website.
The map on the website on astronomy.ie. David, thanks a million for joining us again this week, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. And the best of luck with the Moonwatch on Saturday. That's David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And you can find viewing times and details of that Moonwatch event on astronomy.ie. And remember, if you look up this week, you might just catch a spacecraft chasing the ISS across the Irish sky, especially tonight at 7:38. Is that correct?
8:38 p.m. 8:38, and only 8:38, tonight.
Only tonight, 8:38. Okay, we'll leave it at that.